MoneyWeb now on the money.
This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. I'm chatting with Lucinda Rudy. She's Director Dispute Resolution at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. Lucinda, appreciate the time. Piercing of the corporate veil, a phrase you dropped just before we came on air. In essence, if we step back a moment, South African law recognizes companies and directors as separate entities, directors and shareholders not liable for debts. This is an important distinction in our law as it currently stands.
Yes, morning, Simon. Thanks for having me. Indeed. I mean, our entire or the cornerstone of the South African corporate law is the separate legal existence between a company on the one hand and their directors and their shareholders on another. So unless a director or a shareholder signs a suretyship in favor of a company mm-hmm. or a guarantee in favor of a company, there is no way subject to some unlawful actions by a director or a shareholder that a director or a shareholder can ever be held liable for the debts of a company. And one can understand why that's necessary. I mean, otherwise nobody would ever want to be a shareholder yeah. or a director in a company. So that is one of the cornerstones of our South African corporate law. But of course, third parties out there that contracts with companies needs some assurances that directors and shareholders cannot act recklessly, cannot act unlawfully and just get away with it by sheltering behind the separate legal entity. And that's why both our Common Law and our Companies Act do make provision for what we generally call piercing of the corporate veil.
It is. And there's been a recent case around this where if directors do act unlawfully or recklessly, they actually can be liable.
Indeed. And there is a very nice, almost a distinction without a difference. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, when one speaks about piercing of the corporate veil, you think of a situation where the courts look behind the separate legal entity of a company and go after its shareholders or its directors. And one sees that often in cases where you have family-run businesses. A company is almost the alter ego of the shareholders.
Yeah.
What this Centaur mining case now have done is highlighted a different nuance to piercing of the corporate veil, which is provided for in Section 20, Subsection 9 of the Companies Act, where the court says sometimes you have a group of companies where the directors and the shareholders conduct themselves in such a manner that they ignore the different legal entities. Mm. And the court is going to collapse that group companies basically into one company. So here the piercing of the corporate veil is not collapsing a company to go after its shareholders of directors, but actually collapsing a whole group of companies into, let's say, theoretically speaking, one company,
yeah, yeah.
so that all of the companies can be held liable. So this is a very, very important decision by the SEA, which punishes, for lack of a better word, the unconscionable use and misuse of separate corporate legal entities within a group of companies.
I see that point because I could see how, absolutely, you set up a range of different companies to do the malfeasance, for want of a better phrase. What's important here is, back to those points, this is around unlawful or reckless sort of action, rather than sometimes a company just goes bust because, well, you know, maybe it wasn't a good business, maybe circumstances changed. This is not going to suddenly spring on you because a company couldn't survive. The pinnacle is it's unlawful, it's reckless.
Yeah. So, I mean, the words that are used in the Act is the unconscionable abuse of mm-hmm. the juristic personality of the company as a separate entity. So it is already a very high burden of proof
yeah.
that a creditor or a third party will have to establish. It will have to establish unconscionable abuse. If a company goes bust because of economic circumstances, mm-hmm. then there's no risk of this.
Yeah, gotcha. And this really is, that's the important point. And I appreciate it's a high bar, absolutely. And my non-legal expert thinks a high bar is probably a good bar to have here. But this is around protecting creditors and potential third parties for when malfeasance has happened, even if it isn't a common occurrence. It is around that protection, which is so important, because otherwise the whole economy grinds to a halt.
Agreed. And if I may, there was one statement which the judge in this matter made, and I want to read it because I think it is so to point. It says, it would be untenable that a main fraudster can be liquidated, and then when the co-conspirators are discovered and found to be holding the assets and being solvent, that the court would not exercise the powers in terms of Section 20/9, as it happened in this matter. So this is there. It gives a lot of comfort for creditors out there. Mm-hmm. That the courts have very wide discretionary powers to look behind the separate legal entities created by group companies, especially when there is malfeasance, unconscionable conduct. So there is a level of protection.
We'll leave it there. Listen to Rudy, Director, Dispute Resolution at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. Appreciate the time today.
This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.